and Wounded Knee, you know, the soldiers didn't go there with the idea of massacring Indians, and they didn't intend to massacre Indians. Forsyth, who was in charge of the 7th Cavalry at the time, Colonel, he was a good man. He was a good man, and he took care of the poor sick Indians. Their mamas had whooping cough, the babies, and they took care of them. He didn't want to kill anybody. He just was under orders to capture this roaming band of Indians, because the people feared them, you know. And that's, look, it's an Indian, you know, it was an Indian, and they were loose. And they had orders from Washington to capture them, that was all. There was no intention of murdering them. He was a good man. There's nothing wrong. There's no use letting on that the white officers intended that. They didn't intend it. And it's not fair to tell it as though they intended it, because they didn't. The raw recruits, you know, they're the ones. When the shooting started, God, they went nuts. Indians, you know what they thought about Indians. From Brooklyn and the east side of New York. Think of what those scalawags would think of Indians. He fed the poor devils and he doctored them. And it was next morning that the hell broke loose. They remembered that Sitting Bull had been killed December 15th, 1890 on Grand River in northeastern South Dakota. And Satanka, who had been Satanka and his band had been dancing up there in keeping with the teachings of Uvoka. And when Sitting Bull was killed, he feared that the soldiers would come and that something terrible would happen and the miracle would never take place. So he started to flee southward. And it was bitter cold for a while, and there was a week that they toiled across the Dakotas. Bigfoot was fleeing from the soldiers. He wanted to stay away from the soldiers until this miracle would happen. Because if they encountered the soldiers, then something bad would happen, then there'd never be a new heaven and a new earth. See? God damn. And it's terrific, the cold and the suffering of, and the pitiful faith of the Indians, the pitiful faith, you know. Jesus, it came from the missionaries, they heard all about Jesus, you know. That was old stuff to them. The Catholic missionaries taught them about the Messiah, and the poor devils believed it. And I'm telling something that nobody can know, but I, as a poet, am narrating it the way it was inside the Indian. Uvoka died and went to heaven, and he saw God, and he talked to God, and God told him how to make a good world. And what God told him was really Christianity, you see? It came from the Christians, but it came as though it had come from the vision of Uvoka. And when Uvoka started preaching this, it swept across the continent. And the Indians seized upon it as their last hope to have an Indian world again, an Indian world. It was after they were driven into their reservations. It was in the middle 80s that he had his vision. Sometime in the early 80s, up to the middle. That's what happened. See, for a moment I'd forgotten there, but it was after they were driven in the reservations. You get that from the South of the South. That is all factual. That is documented. It's a documented poet's account. But the poet is interested in the truth of it, and the deep human meanings and the spiritual meanings. That's the difference. And nobody can tell it in the manner of mere factual prose and get it told. It wouldn't be told. There's more than that to it. There was something deep and beautiful and good in it, you know. The poor devils. And we may get in a fix just as bad as that sometime if we don't look out. Yeah, they had the faith. The Savior would not fail them. The Savior would not fail them. The Savior was coming. Beautiful. Beautiful. Sub-zero weather and a high wind blowing. And the poor devils, you know, starving. It would have been better if it snowed, because it could have gotten warmer if it snowed, you know. It could cover them up. Night long about their teepees raved the blast. God, you know how that cold that was. You have 30 or 40 below wind around your teepee. And the little babies in there, babies and mamas with the, and little kids. Jesus, it's awful. Some of them thought that these fellows were crazy, you know. Men who didn't believe this. Men who didn't believe that Jesus was coming. And they were staying back with the white men. They weren't retreating, see. The worldly wise, smart alecks who knew better. Who were the worldly wise? Tapped their foreheads. Nuts. Nuts. Don't live by your great vision. You live by little visions. Little petty visions instead of the larger vision. Yeah, you see, what if the world, that's the world, that's the physical world that's hanging on to them like a wolf as they flee. Soon it'll be different. Jesus is coming. Oh, the beautiful and beautiful thing. For my part, I was trying to buy a ghost shirt, and the fellow thought a year before he gave me an answer, and he said, I decide I keep it because I believe it. And I said to Ben, you tell him that I want him to keep it. I wanted it because I believe it. God, you seen it. You should have seen it look at me. You should have seen his look at me. What the hell did I mean, a white man? I believe it too. He was getting old, a fellow then that had the shirt. He was getting kind of old. Pity me, have pity on me, everything is lost. As they march, they sing it. They sing a prayer, like a prayer. Have pity on me, step by step, little linked eternities of pain. And, you know, a short while is a long while when you're suffering, you know. Look at the ponies. With their butts to the wind, hunched to the driving needles of the frost. There was icicles, not icicles, but the wind was icy, you know, and the ponies would go along this way, you know, hunched, you know, with their tails drawn in. And they honked, they cried out together, you know, the ponies. Neighed together, they neigh, you know, and they answer each other, you know. They were one flesh with man at last. They'd cry out, and nothing cared but the cry, nothing, there was no answer except the cry of pain again. Now let's see, there was Kicking Bear had a party down at Cooney Table, and that was going to be a gathering place. They were all coming down there, and they were going to be free from the soldiers there, because soldiers couldn't get up over, couldn't get up Cooney Table unless they fought for it, because it was like a fortification, you know. And they were just holding up there, and these poor devils thought, we'll go down to Kicking Bear, and he'll have food, and he'll have food and fire, and we'll be warm and eat. Yeah, they're going to be plenty when they got to Kicking Bear. Kicking Bear was a prophet, and he had some peculiar power. I tell about his power, the things he did, and I wonder if it's all just cock and bull story. I don't think it is. I think he had some mystical power, hypnotic. They told about how his the ponies in the sky answered his pony, when the ponies in the sky, you know, whinnied back to him. And it sent some young men ahead, scouts, to see, for God's sake, send some food out to the poor, to our people. They're out there freezing, And they went there, and you'll find all they found is they had the ashes of their fires. These fellows are coming back. They're coming back, but they haven't got anything. Scott's coming back. That's what they heard in the moon's mid-climbing of the night. They saw the moon come up, you know, late in the night. Breath frozen on their hair, you know. The ghostly to the eyes. We saw their ashes, that's what we saw, where they had camped. And it was, the ashes were blowing in the storm, there was no fire. Night howled the moon down, got a cold. The moon, you know, out there nibbled and broken, you know, because it's an old moon. And cold and the wind blowing, you know. It's a cold to stop blowing. You know, when it gets beastly cold, the wind doesn't blow anymore. It stops. And then it gets cold. Oh boy, it gets cold after that. You know, the moonlight seemed like the very body of the cold. Haven't you been out at night in the full moon when it was bitter cold? You could see it. The moonlight was, it's as though you saw the cold. It was so cold. It seemed so. Here was a great empty prairie. And the shining air full of icy particles, you know. Cold. And it seemed that they were in the center of a ring of time, you know. That never changed, never changed. Moaning hunger slept. The very babies and little kids, you know, they didn't understand it, you know. They didn't know why this, their parents feeling so bad, and then grandpa, you know, and grandma crying. They were people, that's what wasn't understood, and that's what isn't understood now. They're trying to make an Indian on one side and white on the other side, and it's people on both sides. That's the thing. And if I were an Indian, I'd be preaching that. And you could get white people on your side too, you know, lots of them. And lots of Indians. See, he was a prophet, he was leading his people, Satanka. He was leading his people away. To keep them away from the soldiers so that the miracle would happen. There'd be a new heaven and a new earth. All you had to do is pray and sing and believe and never give up. The earth forgets us. Shall we then forget the spirit and that nothing else is true? You know, they were real. They had some spirituality, all right. They sure did. That, and when I thought the Savior must be near, it was one of the visions of Bigfoot, you know. Poor devil is dying of pneumonia. They said in this record the other day that he was dying of tuberculosis. Well, he no doubt had tuberculosis, they all had nearly. But he was dying of pneumonia at the time. Because he was a prophet, you see, that he was a Wichashawakan, you see. A holy man. Or at least he had become one, leader of his people, spiritual leader of his people. He did dream. He did have visions. He had visions and he talked to the spirits and they listened. He's hearing something about it from the spirits, you know. They listened to him. Of course, he was sick. He was delirious. There he lies on his pony drag, and they're all up there. They fill the sky with their faces looking at him. They're surprised, you know, that he's not dead. They thought he'd died. He's come back. And when I thought the Savior must be near, and looked to see him walking white and tall, across the prairie, there was light. He thought the Savior would be a person, tall and white, walking across the prairie. And I noticed there was light. That's the answer. That's the answer. There was light. Don't look for Jesus. Look at your fellow man. all of them. They're all your fellow men. There's Jesus. Don't look for Jesus in some remote way. There's Jesus, right? Your neighbor, all your neighbors. Them, it is He. So that's what they're taught. That's what no doubt Muvoka must have taught it too, because it was Christian. That's Christian. And if they ever could live it, they'd have themselves quite a world. And all the grasses in the world began to sing, and all the queer and creepy little things that loved the grass were singing, having shed its load of strangers. Until you know the strangest face to be your own. That's the doctrine. Now, whether it's possible in this world, I don't know, but it could be in an extension of this world, which is spiritual. Could be. Maybe that's only a foretaste of what will happen. Anyway, it better be, or they're going to have themselves a tough cosmos for a long time. And all the grasses in the world began to sing, and every queer and creeping little thing that loves the grass was singing, having shed its load of strangeness. The growing power of the world is good. It's good, you know. The secret that all the grasses know, and trees are patient with it. You can see trees growing in all kinds of weather. Just stand there patient, you know, just patient. Big wind comes and they just sway a little to the wind. Come back again, you know. And the grasses all believe, you know, they're utterly believing. They know that in the fall when the frost kills the top grass, they just go to sleep and wait. Then after a while it gets warm and a little water comes and they just rise again, you know. The grasses know, and the trees are patient with it. Morning sun is walking in his blue robe of morning. He is walking with his power greenward walking. Where the sun is walking with his green, with his blue robe of morning, he is walking with his power greenward walking. Comes the Messiah with the daybreak star on his forehead. Beautiful, you know. This isn't too beautiful for Indian thought. It's Indian. They're coming back again with the Savior and the new heaven and new earth. A nation, our people who are dead will come back. A nation marching with the buffalo. A buffalo will come back too. That's Indian, pure Indian. Yeah. They all sang together, you know. A sacred wind is walking with the day. God damn, you know, it's beautiful. And they thought, now surely the miracle is beginning. Now it's going to be spring forever, maybe. Maybe this is it. Bless their hearts, you know, they believed it. Now in the waning of the afternoon, they neared the place where, topping the divide, a lonely butte can see on every side, where creeks begin and where they wander to. That's Porcupine Butte. It's everybody sees it for many miles. You see it for, oh, you see it 20 miles any place. Yeah, it's east of Wounded Knee, over east of Wounded Knee on Porcupine Creek, which flows north. You know, they were coming up the Valley of the Porcupine, which flows north into the White River. See, and they were following the stream. And then here comes the 7th Cavalry. And lo, the guidance and the crawling blue of cavalry approaching down a hill. The people halted staring and were still with wonder. Was the vision growing real? They heard the leather singing with the steel. The long hoof murmur deepened. Summits rang with happy voices when a bugle sang. The sleek-necked horses knew their kin and neighed a joyous greeting. Up the cavalcade, the trailing welcome clamored to the end, and rousing to the music of the friend, the feeble ponies nickered back to those. Then mightily the people's song arose, and all the valley was a holy place to hear it. Father, I have seen his face, the stranger's face made beautiful. Behold, behold, my sprouting heart is green. Around them rolled the steel-shod thunder, closing in the rear. The stranger's face made beautiful and dear, they sang with lifted hands. I see, I see. Along a flat beside the wounded knee, they camped at sundown, lacking neither wood nor water. And the tattered teepees stood within the circle tents, beneath a low and sloping hill, where, glooming in a row, the wagon guns kept watch upon the town. Their wagon guns were Hotchkiss cannon, firing an explosive shell. A gentle spirit with the night came down, and like a father was the soldier chief. Strong-hearted, of the plenty of his beef, the plenty of his bread he gave to eat, and plenty was the sugar to make sweet his many-kettled coffee, good to smell. And much he did to make the children well of coughing, and to give them their mother's rest, and for the burning in Satanka's breast, his holy man made medicine that night. One people in a blooming ring of light they feasted, and within the blooming ring a song was born. For every living thing we send a voice, lean closer, one who gives, a praying voice for everything that lives, lean close to hear. See, they think maybe it's going to be all right too, you know, now. Sleep came without a care. Above them, with a face of old despair, the late moon brooded, watching for the sun. Almost, it seemed, the miracle was done that morning of a weather-breeding day. The spell of bright tranquility that lay upon the land wrought eerily with sound, and strangely clear the voices were around the crackling fires, yet dreamily remote. You know the kind of weather it was when a voice sounds far off, you know, you can hear a voice a long way off. Before a storm, it's happened very often. Straight stemmed, the many smokes arose to float, dissolving umbels in the hollow blue, where, measuring some endless now it knew, a patient solitary buzzard wheeled. Northwestward, where the black hills lay concealed behind the bluest ridge, a faint cloud rose, as though the peaks and flowing slopes of those were stretching up to see what might betide. Yeah. It looked as though a cloud there coming up above the horizon. One high peak, which is Harney. One standing about like that. High here and coming up to a point. And now, Satanka, when a bugle cried, awakened to the prison of his bed. A nearer neighbor to the shining dead than to the darkly living ones, he lay and heard, as in a dream and far away, a deep hoof rumble running in the land, and briefly singing voices of command clipped upward with an edge to be obeyed. You know that the way a sergeant or an officer gives a command to a troop, shoulder, arms, you know, clipped upward to be obeyed. Clipped upward. Again the bugle cried, and ceasing laid a sudden stillness over all the camp. A troop horse pawed no longer, ceased to champ the bit and shake the bridle. Awful grew the stillness of the vision coming true, that crystal moment of eternity, complete without a shadow. He could see, as though his teepee were illumined air, the whole enchanted picture breathing there about him. All his ragged band between the horsemen southward skirting the ravine and footmen northward ranged beneath the hill. The soldiers on the summit, tall and still beside those war dogs crouched on eager paws, with thunder straining in their iron maws, the leash of peace. Hutchison's waiting to bring the start. They were already on the hilltop mounted, you know, and ready to fire if something happened. And children, unafraid, with thirsting eyes and mouths agape to aid in drinking all that splendor, gleaming brass on serried blue. These are the things he would have seen if he was seen. It was a magic. Could have seen them if he could have seen through his tent. He was seeing these things. And of course we imagine what he was thinking. Nobody knows but God. He listened for the grass. Scarce real in seeming, as the hush it broke, a voice arose. The soldier chieftain spoke. Remotely clear, the sound itself was kind, and trailing it a little way behind, a voice made meaning that was gentle too. The interpreter was talking. The speaking ceased. Now we hear the women busy around the teepees. The women are busy, you know. Everything's going to be all right now. Everything's going to be all right. Among the teepees grew a busy murmur like the buzz and boom of bumblebees at work on cherry bloom in hollows hushed and happy in the sun. Now surely was the miracle begun, and all the little strangers without name, no longer strange, made ready to proclaim the secret all the springs have tried to say, and grasses, greening for the deathless day, took breath before the world-renewing song. That is, he could hear from his tent this going on. You see, they were collecting the guns, as you'll see, and most of the Indians are giving them up. They didn't have any use for them. They had no ammunition, hardly enough to... There were very few killed by Indian bullets in that scrap. It was the soldiers shooting back and forth at each other, killing their own men. And I heard that Wallace, before he was shot, was saying, "For God's sake, men, don't do this." Yelling at children, "For God's sake, don't do this." And then he was shot. And then, as though the dying world of wrong cried out before the end, Satanka heard the high, haranguing voice of Yellow Bird above the lulling murmur. See, Yellow Bird, he's smarter, like, he knew better. There, that's an Indian type. It's a white type, too, for that matter. Foolish ones and blind, why are you giving up your guns to these Wasichus, who are hardly men and shall be shadows? Are you cowards then, with hearts of water? Are you fools to heed a sick man's dreaming? Stab them and they bleed no blood of brothers. Look at them and see the takers of the good that used to be, the killers of the Savior. Do not fear. The nations of the dead are crowding here to help us. Shall we shame them? Do as I. Yellowbird, big smart aleck. I know that kind of Indian too. He knew better. Oh, did he know better? And he killed a sergeant who was taking his gun. Well, most of the Indians were giving them up because they had this vision of peace between the Indians and the white man. It's going to be just fine now. It's going to be fine. Beneath that final spear thrust of a cry, the very silence seemed to bleed and ache. Now, if but a single seed should wake and know its mother, or a grassroot stir, the sap of pity in the breast of her must flood the world with spring forevermore. A gunshot ripped the hush. That's Yellowbird. Yellowbird killed the sergeant, reaching for his gun. They didn't weren't struggling. They were all giving him up peacefully. And Yellowbird shot him instead of... Sure, and that's the truth, and it ought to be told. Yellowbird, you ask some fella, do you know anything about Yellowbird? And they sure know. And, of course, those fellas, the 7th Cavalry, had been recruited from the east side of New York and Brooklyn. And those were all recruits, scared stiff, too, you know. They were scared. Indians. A gunshot ripped the hush. The panic roar outfled the clamor of the hills and died. The echoes, you know, of the gunshot. And then, as though the whole world crucified upon the heaped Golgotha of its years, for all its lonely silences of tears, its countless hates and hurts and terrors, found a last composite voice, a hell of sound assailed the brooding heavens. People yelling, people screaming, and women screaming, babies running, or children running, and men howling. It's awful. The voice of all the sorrows and all the sufferings of men that came forth from that mass of terrified people. Standing Bear told me that at the Custer fight, the yelling and the sound of the guns was like as though it were floating over the top of it, as though it were another level. It were floating above the men and women. Once again, the wild wind roaring of the rage of men, the blent staccato thunders of the dream, the long-drawn, unresolving nightmare scream of women and of children over all. Now, at last, the peace of love would fall, and in a sudden stillness, very kind, the blind would look astonished on the blind, to lose their little dreams of fear and wrath. A plunging fury hurtled from its path Satanka's teepee. He's listening, and here comes a cavalry horse knocking his teepee down. And it's the beginning of the end. In a gasp of time he saw, like some infernal pantomime, a frieze of horror rendered motionless forever. Horses rearing in a press of faces, tortured into soundless yells, amid the gloaming of the husky shells that blossomed in a horizontal flaw of bloody rain that fell not. Then he saw one face above him, and a gun butt raised. A soldier's face with haggard eyes that blazed, a wry wound of a mouth, a gape to shout, and nothing but the silence coming out, an agony of silence. He sees a face above him, it's a face of a soldier, and it's something dear about it. It's a human face. The misunderstanding of the soldier, the misunderstanding of Satanga. For a span unmeasured as the tragedy of man, brief as the weapons poising in the stroke, it burned upon him, and a white light broke about it, even as a cry came through that stabbed the world with pity, and he knew that shining face unutterably dear. All tenderness it hovered, bending near, half man, half woman, beautiful with scars and eyes of sorrow, very old, like stars that seek the dawn. He strove to rise in vain, to cry, "My brother!" And the shattered brain went out. That's what he got for his trouble. And the shattered brain went out. Around the writhing body still, beneath the flaming thunders of the hill, that fury heaped the dying and the dead. And where the women and the children fled along the gully, winding to the sky, the roaring followed, till the long, thin cry above it ceased. The cries and moan were mingled, and it'd be just one long cry. The mingling of many voices, that happens. When a lot of people yell together, it makes one long cry. In that long gully, Jesus, it was full of dead and wounded, and it snowed on them and covered them up that night. A couple of hundred. Just shooting people, and riding them down with the cavalry horses, you know, and shooting them like rabbits. Yes, sir, of course, because everybody, it was open season on Indians. Open season on Indians. The bugles blared retreat. Triumphant in the blindness of defeat, the iron-footed squadrons marched away, and darkness fell upon the face of day. The mounting blizzard broke. All night it swept the bloody field of victory that kept the secret of the everlasting word. That's the perfect misunderstanding, the perfect misunderstanding. He had had a mystical vision, you know, in which he had seen the white man as a human being, lovable, and he believed it. Yes, sir. He'd been told by Christian missionaries, he'd been told by Avoca, don't, even if he comes to kill you, love him because he's your brother. And Satanka is trying to do it. Yeah, everybody. You see, always the supreme vision takes in everybody. It doesn't make divisions. The unity of life and the holiness of it, that's the preaching. That's the doctrine. Triumphant in the blindness of defeat. God damn, you know, they had cleaned the Indians up, see? They'd cleaned them up. The common soldier naturally thought it was authoritative and legal, you know, and proper. The proper thing to do. Damn the Indians. They had no business being Indians. Back up, came down from the agency horseback. He was a kid, of course. He was a young man. And he rode over there with his six-pronged stick, rode up and down in front of them, you know, and they shot at him and couldn't hit him. But a lot of young fellas came over. A number of young fellas came over. I tell about it in When the Tree Flowered, too. A lot of young fellas came over to help, you know. They said, they're butchering over there. That's the very expression they used. They said, they're butchering. You see, the hell of it is that even the people who are right are wrong. You see what I mean? Even the people who are right are wrong. Poor devils. And we're not much better. And maybe, by God, something will make us wake up. I don't know. The blizzard broke. All night it swept the bloody field of victory that kept the secret of the everlasting word. And you say, what is the everlasting word? You tell me, that's the answer. Probably love.